Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as follows. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, we must learn again from time to time that seemingly insignificant and tiny things can also be vitally important, and when they fail, entire systems may fail. For example, when the space shuttle Endeavour lifted off into space in 2007, a small baseball-sized chunk of foam weighing less than an ounce popped off a fuel line, bounced off a bracket, and slammed into the bottom of the space shuttle. At 200 miles an hour, this little piece of foam cut a gouge in the thermal tiles on the underside of the shuttle, and they considered repairing that damage as soon as they made it into space. Why? What's the big deal? Why such a concern? What damage could be done by a piece of foam weighing less than an ounce? Well, there was concern because the thermal tiles protect the shuttle from intense heat upon re-entry. And without them, the entire shuttle could burn up and be destroyed. Who would think that a small piece of foam could cause such damage? But it's true, isn't it, that the size and weight and composition of a thing do not always determine its lethality. Some of the deadliest things on earth are tiny. Tiny frogs, tiny spiders, even jellyfish can kill in short order because they excrete deadly toxins. In the Word of God before us this morning, we are reminded that though it is small when compared to the other parts of the body, the tongue is powerful and even can be deadly. When the tongue is controlled, it can be used to teach and to bring salvation to other human beings, eternal life. It can be used to praise and glorify God. But when the tongue is out of control, it can also cause great damage to other people, to one's relationships, and to other things. For this reason, we are all this day encouraged to watch your mouth. May God the Holy Spirit work in our hearts through His Word so that we may grow in our faith and with the Spirit's help become more able to control our tongues. Amen. So how would you have done it? Suppose you designed and set in motion the plan to save humankind from sin and eternal death. How would you then choose to communicate that good news to everyone? If you were the Creator, would you so align the stars that every night anyone looking upward could read the truth? Would you write it on the clouds like a giant marquee? Would you see to it that the very wind communicated the truth to every human being? Well, it really doesn't matter how we would have done it, because God has chosen to communicate the good news of our rescue through words and through human speech. In so doing, God has made the tongue a truly powerful member. We don't think of it that way. But when the tongue is controlled and used to teach the word of God, it serves to glorify God and bring salvation to many. On the other hand, when the tongue is not controlled, or when it is guided by human reason and thinking, then great damage can be done. Think of the millions of people today who worship gods that are merely the figments of their imagination. This thought and the first words of this third chapter serve as a warning to every pastor, to every teacher, to say and teach no more than God's word says. For it seems that some to whom James wrote wanted to become teachers, perhaps for the wrong reasons. It may sound strange, but we are encouraged, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." What? Don't let everyone become a teacher? Don't we have a teacher shortage? Well, we do, but don't misunderstand these words. We are all, according to Holy Scripture, kings and priests before our God and Father, and as such, we are called upon to speak the good news of what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus. We are all to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. But we are not all, however, called to serve in the office of pastor or teacher. God hasn't given all of us the desire or the ability to serve in these public offices. After all, it is God who gives the ability. It's God that gives the gifts. It's God who calls to serve in these callings. We don't decide for ourselves. He calls and sends pastors and teachers, as the Scripture says. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But we're not all to seek the position of teacher in the congregation. While some might consider what the pastor does or what a Sunday school teacher does to be easy, it is also a job that carries with it great responsibility. In fact, those who teach God's word will be called upon to give an account of it on the day of judgment. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to this fact in the letter to the Hebrews when he writes, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." If there's anyone who should control their mouths, it should be the pastor. It should be the teachers. They should certainly control what comes out of their mouths, especially from the pulpit. The person who can control their mouth in such a way is described here as complete, perhaps even able to control the whole body. For the tongue is the most difficult of all of our members to control. It is a truly powerful tool, as borne witness to by these words. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, though they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." The tongue is compared to these two things, the bridle, and the rudder. are examples of small but powerful tools. Once the bit is placed into the mouth of the horse, it enables the rider to control the whole horse, to persuade it, to guide it, to turn it this way or that. The rudder of a ship is also tiny when compared to the whole of the vessel. A huge ship may be driven by violent winds, and yet may be turned and guided wherever the pilot wants by means of its small rudder. The tongue is also small, but powerful. When controlled, great things can be done. When uncontrolled, destruction is in its wake. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What an apt comparison. The tongue is compared to a forest fire. All it takes is a single match, carelessly thrown, to destroy entire forests of trees. And the same is true of the tongue, isn't it? All it takes is a careless word, a hurtful word, spoken here or there, to destroy relationships, feelings, and more. The damage done by a tongue cannot be repaired. Like, for example, when reputations are damaged by means of gossip. Even a few words spoken in anger or hate can result in broken families and lives. When we get tired or come to the end of a day, when we are emotionally charged, we often say things that we regret. But let's not excuse it. Let's instead seek God's forgiveness in Christ, remembering what the Lord Jesus says, "I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment." I can tell you for myself that I'm personally ashamed of the damage that I have done from time to time through hurtful, sarcastic, emotional words. But I thank God that He forgives me for Jesus' sake. If you have sinned in word, seek God's forgiveness in Christ and the forgiveness of those that you have hurt. For while the horse can be tamed, made docile, and no longer a danger to itself, while the ship can be controlled in wild seas, no one can tame the tongue. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. James reminds us that it is unproductive for two opposing messages to come out of the same mouth. On Sunday mornings, we use these same mouths to sing praise to our God and Father, to offer up prayers of thanksgiving. But then at other times during the week, we use the same mouths to spew forth all manner of evil. Even in nature, a spring of water doesn't do that. It doesn't produce both brackish water and good water. A fig tree doesn't produce olives, nor can a grapevine produce figs. And yet our mouths do that very thing, not produce figs. They produce both foul and sweet. What can we do about it? Well, you could try all you wanted to try and fix it, but you won't. Praise God that He sent His Son Jesus, who used His mouth for good only. Praise God that He silently, without cursing, without swearing, laid down His life to atone for all of the times when we use our tongues for evil. Praise God that we have forgiveness in Him. Moreover, though we cannot tame our tongues and bring them under complete control, no matter how hard we try, the Spirit of God can help us to control and use our tongues for good. To pray, to praise, and give thanks to Him. Therefore, we should earnestly pray every day, Lord Jesus, grant me a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, that I may use my tongue for your glory and not for my shame. For even small things, a piece of foam weighing less than an ounce can do great damage. The human tongue is surely small but powerful. May God help us to use ours for good, for His glory, for His praise, for the furtherance of His good and gracious purposes. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.